We're going to look at Psalm 119, verses 169 to 176. Let's read those verses together. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. You know, in each one of these verses, there is a reference made somehow to God's word. Whether it's the word of God, or the statutes of God, or the judgments of God, or the precepts of God, all of the commandments of God, all of these different words that relate to the word of God, show us that the psalmist in this psalm is deeply concerned about following and keeping God's word. Well, in this last segment of Psalm 119, the psalmist discusses the submission of self to God and how we're supposed to submit to God in our lives. And as we look through these verses, and usually there's some kind of theme to each one of these segments, and this particular segment has a lot to do with me submitting myself to God, submitting my tongue to God, submitting my choices to God, and submitting my soul to God. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. You'll notice in verses 169 to 172 that the psalmist keys on his tongue and his words and his lips. He talks about his cry in verse 169 and his supplication in verse 170, his lips in verse 171, and his tongue in verse 172. And so each one of these represents a different aspect of how he is using his ability to speak. And he's saying more or less that I want to use all of my speech resources in God's service. I want to submit all of them to God. Let's talk about his cry. A cry is a deep emotional need that is expressed. It is that which we have in the moment, you know, when we're hit with bad news or when we've had some kind of trauma or accident occur and we've been affected physically. You know, we cry out in that moment for God's help. And the cry of the psalmist, he wants that cry to come before the Lord. And he wants that cry to be heard by the Lord. And in response, he says, give me understanding according to your word. You know, a lot of times when we cry out in that moment, it's all about how we feel emotionally. But what we really need in that moment is to have God's understanding. A lot of times when we cry out like that, we're asking, why did this happen to me? Why am I suffering like this? Why was my loved one taken away from me? Why do I have this sickness or this sudden pain or this accident or whatever it is? That's the cry and the response. Give me understanding according to your word, because we need understanding in those deep moments of emotional pain and struggle. And a lot of times we say, you know, I just don't understand why something like this could happen. And yet God is saying, I have understanding for you. And if you will seek me and my word, I will give you understanding. A lot of times when those situations occur, we're looking for understanding and we're looking for things. And we look in a lot of places, but we don't look in the word of God. And we need to be looking in the Word of God for understanding about those things. The Word of God is always fresh. It's always relevant because when we live and as we grow and as we get through life and experience life from a different perspective every day. You know, I don't have the same perspective on life today that I had 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And I won't have the same perspective tomorrow that I had today. So there's a lot of change that occurs in our life. And so the Word of God is constantly fresh and relevant because of that. And that's why I need to constantly go back to it and bring that wellspring of spiritual knowledge into my life so that I can constantly be applying the Word of God to the new perspectives that I gain as I go through life every day. So the cry of the psalmist, the supplication of the psalmist, let my supplication come before you, verse 170, deliver me according to your word. A supplication, as opposed to a cry, a supplication is a thought out prayer that is being uttered in a personal, meaningful, and thoughtful way. And so when we pray to God, we should be thinking about, before the prayer, you know, what we're going to say. What do I need to talk to God about? What has happened in my life, in my friends' lives, in my children's lives, my parents' lives, whatever it might be. And we want to pray to God about those things. And we want to ask for His help. We want to ask for His blessing. But a supplication, it's a request. And the psalmist has a supplication. And the end of the supplication is delivery. Deliver me according to your word. The second part of verse 170 tells us. And so when we ask God in this way, we're looking for deliverance of some sort. And again, the Word of God is able to deliver us from whatever situation we might be in. And if we will apply our meditation to the Word of God, then we will find delivery in many things. Look at verse 171. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. The lips are to be used to praise God, to engage in worship of God. Praise is an expression of worship. It's the expression of worship of the goodness of God and God's attributes. We praise God when we talk about how great He is. We praise God when we talk about how wonderful He is for blessing us. We praise God for the world and the creation that He has made. We praise God for who He is and for what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus the Christ. When we utter those things in prayer, we're uttering words of praise, and we need to use our lips to utter praise to God. And then our tongue, verse 172, my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And the psalmist wants to use his tongue not only to pray and to praise, but also to tell others about God and who He is. And that's what he's saying here. My tongue shall speak of your word. We want God's word to be on our tongues. We want God's word to be out there where we interact with others with that word within our lives. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, the people of the Old Testament, they had on their wrists bands with the Word of God written on their wrists. Sometimes they would wear jewelry. One of the oldest scriptures that's been found in archaeology was a silver scroll that was wrapped around a necklace. And on that scroll was written the words, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace, you know. So that is from Scripture. And so, you know, from the oldest time, we're still putting scriptures on jewelry today, right? Because we recognize the value of carrying that message with us and talking to others about that message. And we want God's word to be on our tongue. And so, submission of self to God means submission of our tongues. We need to use our tongues to love God. James writes this in James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And so by not controlling our tongues properly as God wants us to control it, we end up practicing vain religion. And we don't want to be that way. We want our religion to be correct before God. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, we read, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so the fruit of our lips needs to be involved in the praise of God and the thanks of God each and every day. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men. And these types of prayers need to be in the life of the Christian constantly. Prayer, praise, and using our tongues wisely are all things that God desires of us in submitting ourselves to Him. But then secondly, as we think about submitting our tongues to God, notice also the psalmist talks about submitting our choices to God. Verse 173 and 174. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Choices. You know, we need to make choices within our life. We make choices within our life every single day. We get up in the morning. That's a choice. What we have for breakfast is a choice. Whether or not we go to work is a choice. What we do at work, we make choices. Constantly we're making choices, one thing or another. Now, a lot of times we get into habits, and that's good. If the choice is good, then we can make it a habit, and then we have developed a good habit. And that's a good thing to get into, because you want to make good choices, and you want to have good habits on a regular basis. It's a good habit, for example, to stop at a stop sign or to stop at a red light. You know, that's a good habit to have. And you wouldn't want to not have that habit and then one day realize that you get yourself into some trouble. So our choices, but it all starts with our choices. And so the psalmist talks about, I have chosen your precepts. We want to choose God's word, to choose to follow His will, to choose to do what He wants us to do within our life. And what happens as a result of that? We receive help from God. Verse 173, let your hand become my help because I have chosen your precepts. You see, when we choose God's precepts, then God's hand helps us. Sometimes people talk about God working in their life, you know, in some kind of a mysterious way, unknowable way, and I do not doubt that God can work in our life in ways that are beyond our knowledge. I do not doubt that. But sometimes people say that without having chosen to live by the Word of God. Okay, well now wait a minute. That's not how it works. When we choose to live by the Word of God, that's when God helps us. All right. That's what this verse specifically says. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. So it's because we choose God's precepts that God's hand helps us. And that's an important point to make. Because if we don't choose the Word of God and the precepts of God and following the Word of God, then guess what? We're not going to get help from God in that particular regard, whatever it might be, whatever choice it is that we're making. We're not going to get God's help in that choice. So if we want God to help us, and I think we pray very frequently here. Help us. I hear that prayer a lot. Well, if that's we really mean that prayer, then let's choose to follow God's precepts. And notice also that salvation is connected here. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Delighting in the Word of God is connected with salvation. You think a person can despise the Word of God and expect to be saved by God? No, that's not going to happen. You suppose a person can be apathetic to the Word of God and expect to be saved by God? No, that's not going to happen either. It's only when we delight in God's Word. It's only when we rejoice in it. It's only when we allow it to enter into our life so that we practice it on a daily basis that we're going to have salvation. And so we must embrace the Word of God in our choices for salvation. Our choices are, as the Bible teaches, instrumental to our relationship with God. You remember Joshua 24 and verse 15. Joshua's standing there on the banks of the Jordan River, and he's talking to the children of Israel, and he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he says, whether the gods of your ancestors across the river, or whether the gods of the Egyptians, or, you know, and all the other gods that he names there. And then he says this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so that was his choice. He chose to serve the Lord because he knew that choice was consequential. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and the cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. God wants us not to choose death, but to choose life. And how do we do that? By listening to his word. He has set before us life and death, the blessing and the curse. If you read those chapters before he says that in Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you read all the chapters before that, he points out specifically how if you will listen to his word, you will be blessed. And if you don't, you will be cursed. And there's a long list of things in there. And it would be great to read sometime to understand that that's the relationship then between God's blessing and obeying God's word, or between God's curse and disobeying God's word. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus said it like this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter you in at the straight or the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in thereat. Because narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. So the psalmist is talking about submitting himself to God in his choices. He wants to submit his tongue to God. He wants to submit his choices to God. And finally, he wants to submit his soul to God. Notice verse 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Let my soul live. What a tremendous request here at the end of Psalm 119. And really, when we think about the entirety of Psalm 119, it is about life. It's about how listening to God and his word can bring life into our lives. You know, there's a lot of people out there who are just surviving. They're just making it from day to day. And every day is a struggle, and they wake up regretting that they have to go to work and they have to do everything that they do. But not the child of God. The child of God has the abundant life. He has a great life. He enjoys life. He relishes life. He wants to do what he gets up every morning to do. And why is that? Because God has given him life through his word. And that's the perspective we all want to have. Jesus said, "The thief comes not but to kill and to steal and to destroy." That's that first kind of life that I was talking about. That life of just getting by. But then he says this, Jesus does in John 10 and verse 10. He says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's the kind of life that we want. And Jesus gives us that life if we will listen. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5 verse 3, "And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city." Revelation 22 and verse 14. And so the psalmist wants life for his soul. "Let my soul live." And then he says in verse 176, it's a very interesting way to end this psalm. He says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." And it's such a powerful confession here at the end of this psalm, because throughout the psalm, the psalmist has been crying about the testimonies of God and the word of God and the commandments of God and the precepts of God and following them and how he's going to do that, how he's going to let God's word lead his life. And after meditating upon that, he realizes, at the end of this psalm, he realizes, "I have gone astray. I've gone astray." And he's asking God then to bring him back. What a tremendous confession here. He seeks forgiveness in this confession that he's making. And you might think, well, how is this? How could the psalmist, after the praise that he's given in this psalm, at the end of the psalm, say, "I have gone astray"? Surely, that's not what he means. But oh, the more you study the Word of God, the more you realize how short you fall of God's glory in your life, and how much you really need God to live your life each and every day. You know, the prayer of the sinner that Jesus discussed in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13 was, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said this, "I tell you, he is the one that went to his house justified." He's the one that went to his house justified. And Jesus tells this parable in Matthew 18, verses 12 through 14. He says, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them is gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek the one that has gone astray?" And of course he does. That's what the shepherd does. Then he says this, "And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Now, what is Jesus teaching us there? He's teaching us what this psalmist is teaching us, that God seeks us when we go astray. He wants us back. In fact, God has placed, through the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ, the promise that if we are walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1 and verse 7. So this evening, as we're following God's commandments, as we're seeking them, we must also confess we have gone astray. And, you know, maybe we haven't murdered someone, or maybe we haven't committed adultery, or maybe we haven't done one of the quote-unquote big sins. But we've gone astray in some way. Maybe we've neglected our responsibilities to our children. Maybe we've neglected our duty to the orphans and the widows. Maybe we've neglected speaking the word of God to someone who needed to hear it when we had the opportunity. And at least in those things, we've gone astray. And we must then confess alongside that tax collector, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Maybe someone tonight needs to make that prayer known before the church and needs the help of the church to get back on the right path. And now is a good time that many choose to do that. Or maybe tonight you realize that your relationship with God depends upon your obedience to God's word. As the psalmist has said, and you would like to obey God tonight to become a Christian and to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. This evening, if you'd like to do that, we stand ready to help you. And if you have a need, you can make it known now and come forward to make it known while together we stand and while we sing.